Let Senate come to order, please. Would Chief Clerk read the roll?
Roll call for Tuesday, January 17th. Agar?
Present.
Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Burns?
Excused.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Excused.
Driscoll?
Excuse.
Ellis?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert?
Excused.
Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Excuse.
Meyer?
Here.
Moniz?
Here.
Nethercott? Pappas?
Here.
Perkins? Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fladen?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Excused.
President Bebout?
Excused.
23 present, 7 excused.
Okay, prayer by Reverend Mark Marston.
Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, we ask you to lead us to be people of hope. Guide us through our daily tasks and responsibilities with joy and an eye to a bright future. Our Lord, you have led us through days of strength and perfection, but also days of fear and stress. We ask, our Lord, that you will be with these men and women today as they face the tasks of today, knowing that you are on your throne. You are our God and our rock. And for this, we give you great thanks. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
Would you join me in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Reading and correction and approval of the journal.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 16, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, chairman.
Are there any objections? We are in trouble early. No objections. There being none, the report is adopted. New business. We do not have a doctor for the day, and there's no nurse for the day, so please stay healthy. Today in Wyoming history, in 1933, a bag school bell was rung in the Bells of Hope presidential inauguration celebration, which I'm not really sure. 1933, a bag school bell was rung. Confirmation of appointment. Message from the governor and or House. Message from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January 16, 2017. Mr. President, message number 4. This is to inform you that the House has adopted the temporary House rules and joint rules of the 64th Legislature as the permanent House and joint rules of the 64th Wyoming State Legislature General Session. Sincerely, Wendy Harding, House Chief Clerk.
Any other messages? Seeing none. Reports from Standing Committee.
January 16, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 81, Circuit Court Judge Salaries, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Dockstetter, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon. Excused, Senator Burns. Senator Dockstetter for Senator Burns, Chairman. January 16, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 42, Opiate Overdose Emergency Treatment, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, excused Senator Burns. For Senator Burns, Senator Dockstader, Chair. January 16, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 2, to whom was referred Senate File 35, Virtual Education, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Dockstader, Driscoll, Hastert, and Landon, Senator Burns excused. For Senator Burns, Senator Dockstader, Chair.
That's it. Bills on second reading. Senate File 002, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 2, Legislative Appropriations.
Senate File 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. Is there an amendment on Senate File? There is. Yeah, sorry. Would you like to read in at this time, Senator Cates? Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 2, standing or Second Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 16.
Senator Cates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Vice President. I would move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 2. Mr. Vice President, we had a discussion yesterday about per diem for legislators that reside in the place where the meetings occur. And we had a good discussion yesterday, but some of the testimony was not quite accurate on that. And I'd like to clear that up and continue with the – and it is the subject of the amendment, Mr. Vice Chairman. So it is true that when meetings are held in your hometown around the state, and also when they're held in Cheyenne during the interim, that the amount of per diem that a legislator receives is one quarter. So that's $27 and something a day. But during the session in Cheyenne, our colleagues that reside within the city limits of Cheyenne receive full per diem, $109. What this amendment does is to take the $109 and cut it down to the 25%. So it's a reduction of about $65,000, Mr. Chairman, and that is the amendment. And I want to have this discussion. I don't understand exactly why that custom has developed. And for our colleagues, our good colleagues, this money is actually a taxable payment, unlike per diem for everybody else is not taxable. But it's been a taboo subject to have a discussion about, and I'm bringing this amendment so that facilitate that discussion.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, according to our rules, we need a roll call vote. This does change the monetary amount. Will the chief clerk please call the roll on Senate File 2? This is second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 2. Roll call.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi-Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin? Aye. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns excused. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter excused. Driscoll excused. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert excused. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon excused. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger excused. Vebout excused. Closing vote? Christensen, aye to no.
Ellis, aye to no.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 9 no, 7 excused.
Second reading, amendment number 1 is passed to Senate file 2 has passed the committee, has passed the Senate. Further discussion on the bill, Senate file 2. Senate file 2 having been read to
Senate, it's passed second reading.
Passed second reading,
yeah.
Excuse me, poor choice of words. Thank you. Senate file 2 has passed the committee. Second reading, excuse me. Jeez, I'll get that right yet. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, Radioactive Waste Storage Facilities Amendments.
Senate File 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, should the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Next one is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, County Boards of Equalization.
Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, Legislative Employees.
Senate File 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, Peace Officer Recordings.
Senate File 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Point of order. There's an amendment on 32. We do have an amendment on 32. It was just handed to me. Would the clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 32, Second Reading Amendment, Number 1, Page 2, Line 10.
Senator Bouchard.
Yes, I'd like to move this Amendment 1 to Senate File 32.
Second Reading Amendment.
Second Reading Amendment.
Thank you. Please explain.
This bill generalizes all police cameras. And we have longstanding precedents that the police cam in the police car is in public domain, it's out on the street. And whereas this is a totally different operation we're doing here with body cams, I believe that we should be specific to body cams in this bill. And that's what this amendment does. It changes the generalization of cameras to body camera on this amendment. And I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, it does indeed do exactly that. The task force discussed this and honestly went back and forth on it. I think it's a policy decision for the body as to whether or not this public record statutory change should apply to car cameras, which have been around for quite a while and are widely used, and as the senator pointed out, there's some case law backing their use, or whether it should just apply to body cameras, which are certainly in use to a lesser extent. So supporting this amendment would limit it to body camera use, whereas opposing this amendment would allow it to also apply to car cameras. And as I said, the task force, I think, was overall pretty neutral on it. This is the way we ended up going, was as drafted, but it's a good point for debate and a policy decision for this body to make.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for the amendment, I think it's reasonable to continue with the consistency of the previous court cases that we've had that have governed this in the past. And I think there is a difference there where the cars are in the public domain with the body cameras. Could very well be in a private situation if the policeman goes into a tavern or a bar or some private residence. I think he could have some serious implications there when the body cameras are in a private setting. But the police car, it essentially 99.9% of the time is going to be in the public domain, where everybody else is occupied. And so that seems like if it's in that domain, I think it's reasonable for it to stand the test of the time that we've had with the law in that regard.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, on and for the amendment, it seems to me that the bill is restricting the release of video to the public, and I think with the situation with the body cams, in addition to what the previous speaker mentioned, you have a situation where the officer may well be in conversation with entirely innocent bystanders who may not want to be publicly associated, where he may be talking with juvenile offenders where we've got confidentiality requirements. I think the screening for the appropriateness of release of those is very important, and we do need to be a bit restrictive. And I don't think any of that applies to the cameras that are on the vehicles typically. So I think this is a good amendment that makes this bill more aimed at the target we're trying to hit, and I think it's entirely appropriate. I urge its adoption, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Christensen. Senator Christensen.
On and against the amendment. You know, some of the ideas behind the body cam concept apply to the car cameras. We talked about yesterday an officer coming to your door. Everything in front of it is now recorded. It's the same way where they pull into your barnyard, out to your farm place, take a shot as they pull in. They may have a policy that says when you go on a stop, when you contact people, you turn on the camera, you turn on that witness. And it's the same thing, private property. It's easy to think about it's just a car stop, but that is not always the case. Those cameras are recording both what's out before the car, but they're also recording the voice. And this is not a tough threshold to get around, but the content that's recorded, and with this heightened awareness, the example you saw or we used yesterday of I wanted a month's worth of the officer's activities, a year's worth of the officer's activities, it still goes back to does this tool, when used that way, become prohibitively expensive and, in fact, discourages law enforcement from making those recordings? Those recordings are valuable to both protect the public and the officer, but to have them available upon any request to be reviewed, you're going to have to redact, you're going to have people looking at those films, but also do you really want everything that car camera catches and that microphone catches available for social media that night?
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment, I think we've line one on page two says any audio or video data recorded by a peace officer, and that's what's happened with a car. I think we've seen where the car camera catches part of the action but doesn't catch all the action, and if you start using that Just that little piece, it could be a problem for the defendant or for the police officer. So I like the idea that we also designate the officer's body or attached to a vehicle. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Kinski.
President, on and against the amendment, I would just remind folks that the car cam as well as the body cam pick up not just bad guys or bad gals or people suspected of being very, very bad, but it picks up everybody and everything, every conversation, every photograph, regardless of the condition that, that somebody is or is not in, regardless of what they may say. The car cams typically more and more send the audio back to the vehicle so that it's a full Cineplex rendition of an officer who may be up in somebody's front yard or, you know, far enough away from the vehicle that somebody is candid and not really understanding or realizing that they're being filmed and captured for social media consumption that evening. On and against the amendment, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. Vice President, yeas and nays, please.
Senator Meyer, I believe this is your second time, isn't it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Vice President, you know, I guess we look at these and how they might be used, how we've seen them used in the past, in the recent history in our country. And a lot of times social media can, everybody's got their iPhone. And a lot of times there are bystanders. And the news is going to pick up that unofficial record anyway in a lot of circumstances. And a lot of times that unofficial record doesn't have the audio. And it ends up on the newscast. And it can be very inflammatory. Not so much in our state, but in certain circumstances, I think that you could imagine that you could have some video that would be inflammatory when there's a situation where there's a loss of life. And I think the official recording could have I think a very helpful effect on how the public perceives whatever situation occurred, and does our state a great service from the perspective that the situation that the officer is involved in would hopefully lend some calming effect in many circumstances. So it's going to be out there, I think, with everybody's iPhone if there's anybody around. But I think it would be important to have that official recording be available in those circumstances. We're in a different world of technology, Mr. Vice President, and I think it's good to protect our law enforcement if they get in these circumstances so the public knows what happened. And I think it would stop a lot of perhaps some situations that could be inflamed and get out of control if people actually knew what did happen, and the video from the car cam would do that. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Perkins.
So initially I was thinking this was not a bad idea, but then I think the result is, if I understand this right, and so I'm kind of a question for our judiciary people before the sponsor takes his last turn, but as you go back and look how this folds in, ultimately what you have is under 16.4203, Mr. Vice President, the custodian of public records shall allow any person the right of inspection of the records or any portion thereof except on one or more of the following grounds. And it goes down through there. Then we get to D, which is what kind of the meat of this bill is. The custodian shall deny the right of inspection of the following records unless otherwise provided by law. And then we get down to this new one, which this creates a new exception and a police officer recording. And so ultimately, what we do is, as I understand the amendment, Mr. Vice President, is it limits the police officer recording. So the definition of police officer recording will mean any audio or video data recorded by a peace officer as defined in this and then on camera or other device, which is, and then this amendment would goes to B, which is worn on the peace officer's body, and we're striking or attached to the vehicle. So if I understand this right, and maybe I'm not thinking about this right, but if I understand that right, what I would take is it provides those protections to body cameras, but otherwise I think that we're leaving the police officer recordings on the vehicles get distributed to anybody at any basically on any request, and I don't know if that's really the intent. Maybe that's the intent of the amendment, but I think that's the effect of the amendment. If I'm wrong, please correct.
Further discussion, Senator Nethercott.
Yes, on and against the amendment, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, Mr. Vice President. Excuse me. I would like to echo the concerns of the good senator from Natrona County, in that this amendment effectively eviscerates the purpose and intent of the bill in total. The purpose is to protect those audio and digital recordings from anyone coming in and asking under a public records request to see the information. That is the purpose and the intent as outlined in the scope of the bill. I want to remind this body, the groups that came together in collaboration, in cooperation. The term used in committee was kumbaya moment. Among the following organizations, the civil liberties groups, the press association groups, and the law enforcement community, they all came together in support of the language in this bill as written and as the amendment we previously voted on and discussed yesterday in Committee of the Whole. The good senator behind me addressed some very poignant concerns about the need for the public to sometimes see this video. I encourage you to read the bill again to understand that the bill currently affords those options to law enforcement and to the public. So when it is in the public's best interest to release that video, it can be released. So the bill currently affords that protection and that right. For that, I am on and against the amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion on the amendment, Senate file or second reading amendment number one to Senate file 32. And for the sponsor, Senator Bouchard.
Mr. Vice President, we're looking at two different problems. We're talking about all the personal things that can happen on a body cam, but we're also talking about those on a police car. And back to what I said, we've got 3 decades of precedence where that police car is in the public domain, it's out on the street, and even the audio, and I've asked the Sheriff's Association for specific cases where there has been a problem on police cars, cameras, and I haven't got anything back. So I think we've built more into this bill than really meets the eye, and I think this amendment would be a good move to push this just for the body cams for protections on the personal aspects of that body camera. But I don't think we should change the precedents that we already have for police car video and audio.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number one, the Senate file 32, and the ayes and noes were called for. So would Chief Clerk please call the roll? Yeas and nays. Excuse me. Ayes and noes.
Agar?
Ayes and noes works.
Agar, aye. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard? No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Nay.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladen?
No.
No. Wasserbrugger? Excused. Bebout excused. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 5 aye, 23 no, 2 excused.
Our second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 32 has failed second reading. We're back on the bill. Anybody? No further discussion on the bill. Senate File 32 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37. Reading clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 37, Education Hathaway Scholarship Program 2.
There is an amendment on that bill, and Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 32. Fellow senators, this is just a little bit of cleanup language and an effort on my part to try to make a parallel sentence out of one that wasn't. As far as I can tell, we don't really design courses for our high school students out there, but we certainly offer courses to high school students, and so that's the gist of the amendment, and I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment?
Question
being called. We're on second reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 37. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 37 has passed second reading. We're on the bill. Anybody? Comments? Discussion on the bill. Senate File 37 having been read 2 separate times. Question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, Department of Family Services, Statutory Amendments.
There's no amendment. Senate File 63, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 66. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
Senate File 66, Title 25, Payment Obligations, Federal Entities.
There is an amendment. Senators, do you have a point of order, Senator Scott?
Well, Mr. President, the second amendment also in preparation. Is that my inquiry? Is that still in the works? Do we need to hold the bill back a day? I have no objection to the one amendment, so we could proceed with that.
Senator Anselmi Dalton, you have the amendment that I'm sitting on here. What would you like, Senator Rothfuss? Would you like to recognize?
Point of order, Mr. President. Or excuse me, Mr. Vice President. You're doing a great job of being a president, though. Mr. Vice President, I was going to suggest that if there is another amendment in the works, that it's probably better for the body to hold off, lay it back another day, and take a look at both of them together. I think that's a better outcome. But I'll defer to Senator Scott, who's now shaking his head. Maybe that isn't the case.
Senator Agar, do you have something?
Mr. Vice President, the amendment that several of us drafted, we passed by the organization that was working on the second amendment. They agreed with this amendment, and so are just in support of the amendment before us.
You get on this? Okay. So, Senator Anselmi Dalton, it's all yours.
Mr. Vice Chairman, I move second amendment reading number 1 to Senate File 66 and ask the body for favorable consideration. This amendment, on page 3 of line 1 of Senate File 66, after the word submitted, inserts, if a demand is paid after having been deemed denied under the subparagraph and after the county or department has paid the hospital or other treatment provider, the amount of demand payment shall be remitted to the county or department, whichever entity paid the hospital or other treatment provider. And this basically just gives the ability to the entity to go back and have standing in order to collect the funds and pursue collection, which was an issue that was raised in the Senate by some of my esteemed colleagues yesterday.
Further discussion on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 66. Seeing none, all in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate File 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File, or second reading amendment number one to Senate File 66 has passed second reading. Any discussion on Senate File 66? Senate File 66 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67. Would the clerk please read this in?
Senate File 67, CHIP Program Amendments.
Senate File 67 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Seeing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 69, Small Employer Health Reinsurance Program Amendments.
Senate File 69, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 0002. Senate Joint Resolution, 002.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Federal Land, Wind, and Solar Energy Revenue, State Share.
Senate Joint Resolution 002, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the resolution be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Third bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Vice President, yes, I have a consent list. I move the third reading consent list, which is as follows. It's a short one, Mr. Vice President. Senate File 9, Certification of Cases to the State Board of Equalization. Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions. And Senate File 59, Government Ethics, Clerks of the District Court.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Would any member like one of these bills removed or more? Having read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 69, Certification of Cases to State Board of Equalization. Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions. Senate File 9, Certification of Cases to State Board of Equalization. Then Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions. Senate File 59, Government Ethics, Clerks of District Court. The Chief Clerk shall read the roll.
On the consent list, Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger excused. Bebout excused. On the consent list, 28 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect...
No.
Oh, sorry.
Senate File 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 9, 28 ayes, 2 excused. Senate File 43, are there any changes? Case I to conflict. Driscoll, I to conflict. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 43, 26 I, 2 excused. To conflict. Senate File 59, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate File 59, 28 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 9, Certification of Cases to State Board of Equalization, Senate File 43, Alcoholic Beverages Revisions, and Senate File 59, Government Ethics Clerks of the District Courts have passed the Senate. We have one bill. Bill for our consideration is on third reading of the House Senate. Is Senate File 53. Will the clerk please read the bill in?
Senate File 53, Veterans Hiring Preferences, an act relating to veterans, sponsored by the Transportation Committee.
There are amendments to this bill. Would the reading clerk please read the first one in?
Senate File 53, Third Reading Amendment, Number 1, Page 1, Line 3.
Senator Perkins.
Actually, Mr. President, thank you. I'll withdraw this amendment. The next one has taken that into consideration.
Third Reading Amendment, Number 1, the Senate File 53 has been withdrawn. Would the reading clerk please read in... Second reading amendment, third reading amendment, second amendment, third reading, second amendment to Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, third reading amendment, number 2, page 1, line 3.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. It's actually one a little bit later that we've agreed upon, so without objection, I would ask that third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 53 be withdrawn at this time.
Third reading, Second Amendment to Senate File 53 has been withdrawn. Would the clerk please read in third reading, Third Amendment to Senate File 53?
Senate File 53, Third Reading Amendment, Number 3, page 3, line 1.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 53, ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. Vice President, this is more or less grammatical corrections. We put in a couple of commas on page 3, line 8. We changed it a little bit there to make sure that we had that differentiation clear that a veteran that is disabled only receives 10% and not the 5% plus the 10%. So I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration. Stand for any questions.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, we are on third reading. Third readings, Amendment Number 3, the Senate File 53. All in favor of that amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading, Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 53 has passed. We are on Number 4 amendment to, or Third reading, number 4 amendment to Senate File 53. Would the clerk please read an amendment?
Senate File 53, third reading amendment, number 4, page 1, line 3.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 53 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. Vice President, we had some good discussion about in-state or out-of-state with regard to the veterans' preference and how other states handle the veterans' preference. So this amendment tries to bring all of that discussion together and have some ties back to the state of Wyoming, but not necessarily residency. So it softens up a lot of the considerations that we talked about before, where you don't have to have been a resident immediately prior. And as you can see here, a veteran shall be entitled to the preference established by this section. Remember, this is a preference for the interview. It doesn't change that, so it remains a preference for the interview, not a preference for hiring. And then the conditions under which that preference would be established would be such that Romanet 1, that individual resided in Wyoming for at least 1 year at any time prior to the date the position was opened to be filled. So it's not a recent requirement. It's at any point in their life, basically, they have that tie to Wyoming, having resided in Wyoming for that period. Romanet 2, enlisted in the United States military establishment in Wyoming. So if their enlistment was from the state of Wyoming, that is going to get them the preference. Graduated from a Wyoming high school would get them the preference under any circumstance. Obtained a high school equivalency certificate or general equivalency diploma in Wyoming. Is a resident of a state that provides veterans preference to Wyoming resident veterans applying for similar positions in that state. This is a reciprocity provision, which indicates that if somebody is from a state that would provide a preference to a Wyoming veteran, that Wyoming would provide that preference back to that individual as well. And Romanet 6, the language is a little difficult, but the concept here is that if you have candidates that are both from, say, the same state back on the East Coast, where there wouldn't be necessarily a preference to a Wyoming citizen, but those are the only two candidates. So you don't have in-state candidates, but you've got two out-of-state candidates. You would provide a preference to the veteran among those out-of-state candidates. In other words, you'd give a veteran's preference, all else being equal. Mr. Vice President, I think this addresses all of the concerns that we had raised in debate the other day on this in Committee of the Whole. Hopefully the body will support this amendment. I think it's a good way for us to ensure that we're protecting Wyoming folks and making sure that we've got jobs for those folks in Wyoming while also protecting access to jobs, good jobs for our veterans in public service. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion on fourth reading. Third reading, fourth amendment.
Fourth reading.
Third, fourth, fifth.
Let us stop.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I think that the two main sponsors looking at this idea have probably taken the best out of both of their amendments. I have talked to the Guard. The Guard on this particular amendment I would characterize as neutral on it. I think we may have some problem with HR, but I think it's probably the best effort that we could do regarding I think the thought of the body here. I'm going to flip a coin as whether I vote against it or for it, and so I guess vote your conscience on it, vote it up or down. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion, Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and against the amendment, I have a nephew who was born in Wyoming, would not qualify under this. He lives in Montana now. If he ever decided to move back, I certainly would like for him to be able to qualify, because when he went overseas, they started shooting. They didn't ask him whether he's from Wyoming or Montana or Virginia or Timbuktu. They were just shooting. The people who sacrificed on behalf of the United States of America are entitled to some consideration from the great state of Wyoming in employment. And I just feel like we just are narrowing this down too much. I don't care where somebody went to high school. If they want to live in Wyoming and be a Wyoming cowboy and they enlisted and defended our freedom, we owe them this consideration. Thank you.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and in favor of the amendment. I don't have any disagreement with my good friend from Sheridan. But except to this extent, we're faced with a balance as we look and try and deal fairly and adequately with our veterans, and they deserve our thanks. They deserve our praise. We appreciate their service. At the same time, we have young people in Wyoming that are looking for good jobs, who are coming out of school, who are going elsewhere. We have people who a few months ago, maybe we had a few months ago, had a great mining job in Campbell County. It's not there anymore. Or had a great job in Converse County trying to find oil or other minerals, and they're not there anymore. And so what this amendment tries to do is take all our consideration in recognizing that we owe our veterans, and so if you are a veteran who have some tie to Wyoming, and this is more expansive than the ones we've talked about before. So you could be, if you've resided in Wyoming any time for 1 year. So if he was born in Wyoming and lived in Wyoming for 1 year, if he moved out when he's two, he's entitled to preference. If he enlisted in the military from Wyoming, so if he mustered out of Wyoming, if he lived in Colorado but enrolled and went through and enlisted through the Cheyenne office there, the recruiting office there, he's considered to be there. If he graduated from Wyoming High School, whether he went here for a year, matriculated in the last few months of his high school career or her high school career, obtained their high school equivalency certificate in Wyoming, whether they were 18 or whether they were 35, they obtained their high school equivalency certificate in Wyoming. Or again, if it's another state who's providing these same preferences to other veterans, including Wyoming veterans, they get the benefit of the preference. And the last one is simply expands to say, you know what, if there's no other Wyoming person who's qualified, if you're a veteran, you still get the benefit. So it's a tough call. It's not one that I think any of us took lightly. We appreciate our freedoms here in Wyoming, but at the same time, sometimes these jobs are tough to come by, and we want to make sure that our young people in Wyoming, our residents of Wyoming who live and pay taxes and work here and raise their kids here, that they have a good shot. They have a shot at these jobs too, recognizing that if there's a veteran who has a Wyoming tie, that they'll still have that preference over the Wyoming residents. But when you don't have that tie, you're not from a state from reciprocity, it provides that equal footing. On and for the amendment, appreciate your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Further discussion, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. On and opposed to the amendment. What we were trying to write is and tried to write over the interim, and the committee's been working hard on it, is a preference bill and not a bill that has a litmus test in it. This litmus test is going to take HR weeks to figure out if they qualify under any of these stipulations. Those HR departments are state of Wyoming, schools, universities, that cost us money. This is going to raise the cost of hiring just because of this investigation we're going to have to make. The Wyoming applicant that we talk about still has the same qualifications, that kind of thing, to get the job. This just helps the veteran to get an interview. Does not help him to get a job. Helps him to get an interview that is a problem for the veterans. All but two states have this reciprocity. So other states do have this reciprocity for our Wyoming veterans. So on and against the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I just had a question on Roman 2 there, little 2, when it says enlisted in the United States military establishment. I was wondering, in the circumstance, and I'm glad we're covering our enlisted personnel, but if there's any discussion of somebody commissioned as an officer in the military, why we aren't including them in this amendment, and say, for example, if you had somebody from out of state come to the University over the Hill, do the ROTC program, go through that route into the military, goes overseas, goes wherever, and it seems like they would not qualify for that. So I was just wondering what the intent was with phrasing that part of the amendment that way.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his second time? Seeing none. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just to address the last point, it certainly is the intent, and we'll have to look at the language statute uses, whether commissioned needs to be added there potentially in the chamber if we pass this, or whether enlisted is going to incorporate those types of individuals. So it's an interesting catch to the good senator from Converse County. Regarding the rest of the amendment, on and for the amendment, it's a concept of balance, and I think everybody in this chamber agrees with both interests. Everybody in this chamber wants to ensure that veterans are recognized, are honored, and are acknowledged for their service and have access to public service jobs as a result of that. And giving them that preference is something that we all stand behind. Everybody in this chamber also stands behind the idea of trying to ensure that our Wyoming kids have access to jobs in the state of Wyoming and don't have to relocate to other states, that they can come back here. We all talk about that. That's another policy interest that we end up faced with. How can we ensure that our kids who are born and raised here have the opportunity to come back here at some point in their life if they go off to college or do something else? These interests are sometimes in a little bit of conflict, and this is an instance where they are a bit in conflict. This amendment strives to seek a balance, recognizing the importance of both of those interests, and tries to draw that line in a way that is easily manageable, provides a lot of opportunities to get the preference, recognizing that anybody with Wyoming ties is going to be eligible, but at the same time preserves that recognition that we want to keep our kids in Wyoming. Mr. Vice President, I urge the body to support this amendment and help to draw that balance.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss. We're voting on third reading, amendment number 4 to Senate File 53. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. Those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Senate file or amendment number 4 to third reading amendment number 4 to Senate file 53 has failed. 14-14. We're back on the bill. Are you ready for the question?
Yes, Vice President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, I'm sorry to address this bill now, but I've been off the floor for various reasons, and this is my first real opportunity to do it. I was prepared to vote for this bill until this amendment failed. the problem I have with it, and I probably should have spoken during the debate on the amendment, is that what we're doing here is now with the way the bill is, where anybody from anywhere can come in as long as they're a veteran, get a preference on the interview, we are victimizing our own residents to the policies of other states. Another state which, through their own bad policies, don't have any jobs available, will be sending their veterans here to basically take the jobs of Wyoming veterans. And for that reason, I'm afraid I'm going to have to vote against this bill.
Thank you. Senator Rothfuss, you have a point of order?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I just wanted to explain what happened. There's a little bit of confusion on the amendment vote. The amendments pass on a majority of those present. A majority to pass an amendment. In the instance that we had this vote, it was 14-13 prior to the chair's vote. So the chair had not at that point engaged in the vote. When the clerk announces that it's 14-13, the chair cast his vote as a no, making it 14-14, but did not say that, simply said the amendment fails, because the vote then went to 14-14, since that is not a majority of the members present, that is a failed amendment. And it looks like everyone's on board now, Mr. Vice President. Thanks.
Not a problem, Senator. I'm glad you emphasized how I voted on that. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And I'm in for the bill. You know, I was torn on the amendment. I also, as my good colleague back there, did talk to the guard, did some research. The surrounding states, all the information I had on the surrounding states said that they have a type of preference for interview for veterans, and there's not a one of them that has any in-state requirements. You know, and this is, just remember that this is for an interview only. It doesn't mean that somebody's going to take a job. It's just saying our veterans, and I like the way it was characterized, that anyone, any veteran from these United States can come and have an interview, preference only, and then they have to stand then on the merits. Their merits of their application is what will dictate whether or not they're the ones that are selected for the job. It's just saying any veteran. Just, and so, you know, the fact that surrounding states don't have any kind of residency requirements, and we're looking for and attracting the best and brightest. I mean, I totally agree. We need to keep our youth in Wyoming. We need to attract our youth back to Wyoming, and we need to take care of our veterans. And it's a tough decision. It was tough. It was a tough vote. No matter which way I was, you know, just right and wrong on that, and feeling like I was right or wrong no matter which way on that. But it's a good bill, a good concept, and I'm going to support the bill on those merits.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Folks, I want to let you know what we have right now, and the good Senator Christensen, we just had a little sidebar here, and he asked me, well, what happens to this bill if it doesn't pass us? What do we got? Well, the residency requirements still stay, but you have a non-functioning veterans preference bill for hiring. That's what you have, and I'll tell you why it's non-functional. It's because we have in the current statute a point system. And HR departments in this state don't use a point system. That's why we changed it to a percentage. So no matter what kind of system they have, they can go to a percentage. So if you want to kill this bill, you're not going to have a veteran's preference for any veteran because it's non-functional. They can't use it. It doesn't exist in the current statute as far as how the HR departments work. So if you're totally against veterans' preference, you vote no. If you are for a veteran's preference, then you vote yes. It's as simple as that. And because that's what we were fixing in the interim, was that we have a non-functional system. So throw the residency thing out. If you want to have residency on a non-functional system, vote no, because that's exactly what you have right now. What we fixed is making the point system to a percentage system so it's functional for the HR departments. So it's a pretty simple, you know, question. If you're for a veteran's preference, vote yes. If you're against it and you don't want veterans to have preference, then you vote no. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion on Senate File 53, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I don't think that was an accurate characterization of if you're for this, you're for veterans' preference. If you're against this, you're against veterans' preference. Because I do support the concept of veterans' preference, but at this point I don't think I can support this interpretation of it, Mr. Vice President, where we are leaving a circumstance in place, again, where there are more eligible veterans than Wyoming citizens for the positions, for the potential openings. And under that circumstance, In my district, we get a tremendous number of applicants, say, for school teacher jobs. 50 to 100 school teachers will apply to a high school position in my home district. Many of them from out of state. It's easy for me in my community to envision a circumstance where there are more out-of-state veterans applying for the job than there are potential interviews. That could easily be 10 out-of-state veterans where they want to interview three. That doesn't make me or anyone else who opposes this legislation against a veteran preference. It's just trying to find that balance where this legislation does not provide that balance. The amendment provided that balance, and there are many other ways we could have gotten there to have the balance. But, Mr. Vice President, I'm going to oppose the bill on this vote, not because I don't support the concept. I certainly do. It's an excellent concept. I appreciate the work that the committee did in the interim. To me, though, this is not the solution that we need to put forward. And I regret the fact that we didn't end up providing a compromise in this chamber. Perhaps they will on the other side if it passes. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for the bill, I especially like page 2-4, lines 3 through 7, that spell out the political subdivisions, school districts, the counties, municipalities, University of Wyoming, Community College. We were made aware that some of the schools in Wyoming have no veterans preference, and this spells it out that they will have that. So on and for the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion on Senate File 53. Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Senate File 53, having read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen? Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstader?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger excused. President Bebout excused. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 23 aye, 5 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 53, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 53 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Landon, would you like privilege of the floor?
Mr. Vice President, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please do.
Mr. Vice President, I apologize for being a little late getting down from the Joint Appropriations efforts this morning. On the floor, I intended to do this early this morning, but didn't have that opportunity. I just wanted to take a moment to recognize one of our own. This morning, at a breakfast for our youth services folks, they took time out of their schedules to come to Cheyenne to honor one of our own. And this morning, Senator Kurt Meyer was honored as their Legislator of the Year. And I just thought all of you in here might like to join me in congratulating our good friend from Goshen County.
Yeah.
Mr. Vice President, just a couple of additional thoughts to that. The Senator stood up and credited a lot of the work that we did on Senate File 94 last year to this entire chamber. You might remember that we did do a lot of work on that. He specifically singled out the chairman of our Education Committee. Senator Coe did a lot of work to make sure that we well, we fixed a funding issue that that simply wasn't following to those youth services folks. And so anyway, congratulations to the Senate, along with our good friend Kurt Meyer.
Thank you, Senator Lennon. Congratulations, Senator Meyer. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. No, Senator Kinski. Sorry about that.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Yes, please.
I'd ask all of you to join me in welcoming the Sheridan County Airport Manager, my good friend and a graduate of the greatest high school class ever, the SHS Class of 75, John Stopka.
Welcome to the Senate, Mr. Stopka. John, actually. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Hastert, do you? Okay, let's go to Majority Floor Leader Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senator Landon, you have the seat.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 34. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 34, Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act, an act relating to public education, sponsored by the Education Committee. Which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Ellis, Pappas, Rothfuss, and Wasserberger, Senator Coe, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Coe?
Mr. Chairman, moving the committee, the whole rise and report it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 34. There is a standing committee amendment. Ask that be read in at this time.
Reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate File 34, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 7, line 20.
Mr. Chairman, move that amendment and defer to Senator Rothfuss for an explanation of the bill and the amendment.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this legislation, Student Personal Digital Information Protection Act, relates to protecting students from marketing profiles that might be developed through educational software or educational experiences through the K-12 system. So the concept here is obviously our school system, and it's actually pre-K through 12. Our school system uses software and uses websites. They pay for those services. And those services can gain a lot of information, obviously, about those students, their interests, their learning habits, an awful lot. And you can imagine a circumstance where that service provider would then develop a profile about that student over the course of their educational career, and then once they graduate, keep that information, that nice profile, and market to them accordingly. So they would know a lot, Mr. Chairman, about that student. Other states over the past 3 or 4 years have adopted legislation similar to this legislation. This is, in fact, based on a few other states' legislation to prohibit that activity of developing a profile for a student to be used for targeted marketing purposes. That's the intent of this legislation. It's a relatively long piece of legislation because it was modeled after what other states' efforts were. If our LSO had drafted it, it would probably be 4 pages, but instead we've got about 20. I'll go through those now. On page 2, we've got definitions. Preschool through grade 12 purposes is basically that pre-K concept through 12, anything related to public education. Program includes services for students that are primarily publicly funded from developmental preschool up through the 12th grade. On to page 3, Romanet 3. An operator means any entity other than our education system. So this is that third-party concept where you have an entity that's working for the school district or the public. That entity, to be qualified as an operator, shall, under paragraph A, operate a website, service, software, or application with actual knowledge about it for the preschool through grade 12 use. And that entity collects, maintains, or uses student data in a digital or electronic format, as seen in paragraph B. Romanet 4 defines student data to mean any personally identifiable information for a student that is enrolled in a Wyoming public school or program. Where that is on page 4, that information is created or provided by a student to an employee or agent through that operator's site. On paragraph B, created or provided by an employee or agent of the school district through that employee's use of that operator's site or software. On paragraph C, gathered by an operator through a site, software, service, or application that identifies a student, including but not limited to, and then there's an awful lot of personally identifiable information. You can see the long laundry list of any information that might be collected that would be included on the student data list. On page 5, Romanet 5 describes targeted advertising, which means presenting advertisements to a student where the advertisement is selected based on information obtained or inferred from the student's online behavior. That goes back to the discussion that we had earlier, Mr. Chairman. It does not include, as you can see below, advertisements presented to a student where the advertisement is selected based upon the student's current visit to or single search query. So the concept here, when you go to a web page and you do a simple search, it might provide some suggestions, say, over on the right-hand side for some search engines. That's based on the search, not necessarily the history, and that would be okay. If, however, a profile is built up where that student is individually identified or their behavior is going into the algorithm, that would be targeted advertising. So that's the delineation. Bottom of page 5 defines this act. On to page 6. This is the acts by operators and the prohibitions. And we'll see a list of prohibitions where an operator shall not knowingly engage in any of the following activities without verifiable written or electronic consent. That's one of the key concepts. If you have written or electronic consent that is verifiable, then obviously you can have exceptions to this. What we see below, backing up on the consent, the electronic consent, the verifiable aspect is essential. So that gets you past just the simple I clicked a box and moved on to the next window. That's why that language is specifically there, Mr. Chairman. Romanet 1 talks about precluded acts, the first one being for that operator to use or gather for future use student data to engage in behaviorally targeted advertising on the operator's site, software, service, or application, or targeted advertising, etc. And that's kind of the key concept of this legislation. It goes on in Romanet 2 that it would be precluded to use information obtained to amass a profile about a student, except in furtherance of preschool through grade 12 purposes. The concept there is that a lot of this educational software actually will build a profile for educational purposes. It figures out what the student has learned. Based on what it has learned, some software might pose new challenges, new questions, and that needs to be allowed because that's consistent with the educational pattern, but it's not for advertising purposes. Page 7, Romanet 3, it's prohibited to sell or trade the student's data. Romanet 4, it's prohibited except as provided elsewhere to disclose the student data. Bottom of page 7, acts by operators exceptions. Now we're going to get into the exception language where there's some allowances where an operator may disclose student data without explicit consent required, assuming that that disclosure is made, then on page 8, Romanet 1, in furtherance of school purposes, provided that the operator shall, paragraph A, prohibit the recipient of the data from further disclosing, except to allow or improve functionality of that software, the classroom, or the public school. Paragraph B, require the recipient to comply with all of the other provisions of this act. So if this vendor is using a third party and discloses to that third party, let's say that it's a subsidiary group or somebody that provides a software service to them, they have to be operating within the confines of this act as well. So it's an extension through contract to that third party. On page 8, Romanet 2, exception for release when complying with federal or state law. Romanet 3, to respond to judicial process. Romanet 4 on page 9, to protect the safety, security, and integrity of the software or service. Romanet 5, releasing to a service provider, provided that the operator shall. Then paragraph A, prohibit using any student data for any purpose other than the contracted service. B, require the same restrictions as we had with elsewhere in this act. On C, require reasonable security procedures. Then there's another allowance for exception on Romanet 6 for an educational, public health, or employment purpose requested by the student. So this is a direct request by the student to allow release of some of the information. On Romanet 7, an exception for legitimate research purposes where those would be allowed or required or allowed by federal or state law. Romanet 8, allowed release to a state agency, school district, public school, or program provider as permitted by federal or state law. We do that sometimes through state law, although I don't think we've done it for any of these educational programs to the best of my knowledge. Paragraph B, nothing prohibits using the student data under the following circumstances. On to page 11. It's basically for maintaining or improving the operator's software or site internally. Romanet 2 is for adaptive learning. This is, again, going back to what I discussed previously, Mr. Chairman, where you have some software that considers the student's behavior to provide recommendations on what they should learn next or what they should be tested for next. Romanet 3, nothing precludes for recommending additional content or services so long as payment is not received in whole or in part. Romanet 4, to respond to a student search query with feedback, provided once again that a specific payment is not paid by a third party. Romanet 5, to ensure legal or regulatory compliance. On to page 12, an operator shall. The first is implement and maintain reasonable security procedures and privacy practices. That's an essential component. And Romanet 2 is a point that there was some contention on as to what the timeline would be. But an operator under this provision shall certify the deletion of student data within 90 days if requested by that school district to make that deletion. So, Mr. Chairman, that makes sure that if the school district decides that they want to sever ties and they make a request to delete all of the student data that they're holding, that request has to be followed through within 90 days. I'm getting near the end, Mr. Chairman. Applicability, limitations of duties. This is a series of addendums, you could say, that indicates that there's no interpretation to limit authority of law enforcement agencies to operate under paragraph B on 13. Shall not apply to any websites or online services other than those that are for purposes of preschool 12 activities. Paragraph C, not construed to limit internet service providers connectivity. Paragraph D, shall not be construed to prohibit an operator from marketing educational products directly to a student's parents so long as it's not sourced based on this profile or anything through the as covered by this act. E, shall not be construed to impose a duty upon any electronic store, gateway, marketplace, or elsewhere to review or enforce compliance with this act. F, shall not be construed to impose a duty upon any provider to review or enforce compliance with this act by third-party content providers. Paragraph G, shall not be construed to impede any transfer of information or data to the student. 14, nothing in this act shall prevent the State Department of Education, a school district, or a program provider from recommending products, educational materials, etc., so long as they're not receiving compensation for those duties and through this legislation. Mr. Chairman, that's the legislation. With that, fortunately, it's not a very long amendment, and it's
Thank
very
you,
straightforward.
Senator, I was going to say, do you want to go back to page 7 and deal with the amendment?
I would be happy to, Mr. Chairman. Let's go back to page 7. There was some language requested that seemed reasonable to the Education Committee to change and add a little bit of additional language. What we see on page 7, as phrased on page 7, we have a couple of instances where we talk about an operator may disclose. This would add additional language to say that the operator may use or exclose to make it perfectly clear that they can use it for the internal purposes that they're intended to use it for. That's lines 1 through 7 of the amendment, and it occurs a couple of times on page 7. Or excuse me, that's the page 1 through 3. As we move to page 11, on line 19, we are deleting the or. This is simply to allow for the addition of a new Romanet 6 that we see on lines 11 through 16, where an additional exception would be allowed to identify for the student institutions of higher education or scholarship providers that are seeking students who meet specific criteria, regardless of whether the identified institutions of higher education or scholarship providers provide payment or other considerations to the operator. The concept here is that there are third-party providers that work with schools to provide recommendations and information to the students about what colleges might be appropriate based on profiles. They're actually anonymized profiles, but the third-party aspect created some ambiguity and concern. This clarifies that and would allow for that to take place in recommendations of colleges for kids that are in high school, Mr. Chairman. That's the bill. That's the amendment. I'm sure everybody is, at the edge of their seat trying to figure out what happens next. So what I would do, I believe Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 34 has been moved.
It has
if I'm not
been
mistaken.
Moved, Senator. Yes.
Then with that, I would answer any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, or if there are none, I would call for the question on it.
We are on the Standing Committee Amendment. Any questions? Do I hear a question?
Question.
All in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 34, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Standing Committee Amendment has passed. We are back on Senate File 34 discussion. Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I may be having a freshman moment, so forgive me if I am, but looking through this bill, I see nothing pertaining to penalties. So what is our recourse if one of these entities does share this information improperly?
Okay. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are no explicit penalty provisions, so this provides guidance for policy and requirements that then could be acted upon potentially through civil action or elsewhere through the courts. But no, it doesn't have any explicit teeth as drafted, and that's actually common among how the other statutes in other states had done it. So provides guidance that's clearly to be adhered to. There would be potential for a civil recourse, but that would be up to the courts.
Any further questions? Do I hear a question on Senate File 34? Having heard the question, all those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 34, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Senate File 34 has passed Committee of the Whole. I believe, Senator Pappas, you would like privilege of the floor.
Mr. Chairman, please, may I have privilege of the floor?
You have it, sir.
Today, I'm members of the Senate, I'm really pleased to introduce to you a gentleman who I've known for over a year now and is a great new addition to the University of Wyoming football program. Please help me welcome to the Senate chamber Coach Craig Bohl.
Thank you. Here, here. Welcome, Coach.
I have the privilege of the floor.
You may have privilege, Coach. Take it away.
Thank you so much. It's a real honor and privilege for me to be here. I stood before this body 3 years ago when I first was hired. My knees were shaking, and it's a pretty imposing group, but my knees are still shaking, but I see many friends out there. 3 years ago, I painted a vision of how we were going to rebrand Cowboy football and how Cowboy football could be a source of pride throughout the state. I stand here today to give you a report on the state of Cowboy football. The future looks bright. It's 283 days till we play the University of Iowa, but who's counting? We do have a young, athletic, committed football team returning. We also have a quarterback returning, which gives me a great sense of confidence. It was interesting. He's been talked to by some agents around the country, some who are reputable, some who are not. And I was frustrated. I talked to a couple general managers in the National Football League, and they said, welcome to success, Coach, because this is what you're going to be dealing with. I also made a statement to this group and also to the House that we were going to change the composition of our football team, meaning that there would be more representation from young men who grew up in this state who could play for the University of Wyoming. I stand before you today convinced and more committed than ever. Many of my colleagues around the country will say that you cannot win with Wyoming players, and I stand before you today saying we cannot win without Wyoming players. And so the future does look bright. Many years ago, as a young football coach, I had an opportunity to coach in the Big Ten, and a coach that I admired greatly was Bo Schembechler, who was the head coach at the University of Michigan. And while I stood on the field at the University of Michigan, I noted signs all around their facilities that said, those who stay will be champions. And as a copycat, when I first got here, we put those signs up around our facility. And quite frankly, many of the guys who were on the team when we first got here are no longer here. The level of commitment, the price to be paid was too high. This football team accomplished great things this last year. While we did not win the Mountain West Conference Championship, we were a couple points shy. This football team was rated and received votes by the Associated Press for the top 25. Also, the coaches poll in the top 25 numerous times. We were on national TV, and we hosted the Mountain West Conference Championship. And it gave us an opportunity to highlight the University of Wyoming all around the country. But more so than that group being champions, those young men who stayed on the football team throughout the year and completed the year, their cumulative grade point average was over a 3.0 during this last semester. Now, that's the highest grade point average we've had in the past 20 years. What I can tell you is there's a sense of pride around our state. There's a sense of support around the state. And quite frankly, the support of this body has had a big, big impact, not only making champions on the gridiron, but champions for life. Thank you so much, and go Pokes!
Coach Bohl, thank you very much. Godspeed. Good luck in the offseason. And thanks for taking us on a great ride this past fall. We appreciate you stopping to visit with us. And he's already gone. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62. If the reading clerk would please read the Senate file.
Senate File 62, Telepharmacy Amendments. an act relating to the practice of pharmacy, sponsored by the Labor Committee. Was referred to Committee Number 10, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 62 do pass. There was a standing committee amendment. I ask it be read in at this time.
Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 62, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 15.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and to explain both the bill and the amendment, I yield to Senator Baldwin.
Senator Baldwin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow Senators, I bring to you Senate File 62, short title, Telepharmacy Amendments. We'll get to the amendment, we'll work through the bill and give you an amendment, and then work and then pass the amendment, hopefully. This is a bill brought to us from the Board of Pharmacy. Most everybody in here, if not everybody in here, represents some small rural communities. We have a situation where there was in statute the allowance for a telepharmacy, but it wasn't specific enough to allow telepharmacy in all the small communities that have requested small pharmacies. As you might appreciate, and some of you may live in communities, where you may have a clinic, but you don't have a pharmacy. That's fairly common in the state of Wyoming. The situation is you can be seen by the medical provider in those communities, get a prescription for an antibiotic, for instance, and not be able to get that prescription until the following day when you drive 30 or 40 or 50 or in some cases more miles to then get that, roads being open, which this time of year is never a given. To remedy that, the Board of Pharmacy requested this legislation, requested that we find the ability to make telepharmacies in communities, one being near my district, in the district of the gentleman who resides here to the north of me, both on the floor and in actual geographical area where we live, and that is they reside 40 miles away from any pharmacy. They requested to have a telepharmacy there, and the telepharmacy, as defined in the bill, if you walk your way through it, on page 2, actually, telepharmacy, meaning the site where prescription drugs are stored and dispensed, and that's, we'll run into some of the amendments here in a minute, but on page 2, telepharmacy, where prescription drugs are stored and dispensed that is remote from but under the active control and supervision of a parent pharmacy and a licensed pharmacist, and is subject to the requirements of Wyoming Statute 33-24-156. This meaning that a pharmacy in one of the bigger communities that already exist would be able to manage and supervise a telepharmacy in that little community under the subsections that we get into here. This is the practice authorized. Continuing on page 2, the board with its rules and regulations may authorize a licensed pharmacy to store and dispense prescription drugs as provided in subsection B of this section through a telepharmacy. And this is where some of the first language on the amendment comes in. There was some discussion in the committee, getting down to line 15 and 16. Originally, the bill said it was located at a site at least 25 miles from a licensed pharmacy. What this created was a situation where some of your hospitals, your clinics, and even our residency programs have pharmacies. This would limit them on their abilities because they are closer than 25 miles, in some cases much closer. The committee amended that to read 10 miles, and in addition to that, we inserted this language, 10 miles from a licensed pharmacy, and then in counties with a city of 50,000 or more persons as shown in the most recent federal census. And that allows us to have those pharmacies then in the residency programs, in a hospital, in a clinic. The concern was if we have telepharmacies, they may become in competition with a regular pharmacy in some of those communities. If a large chain would decide to go out and say, well, we can make more money having a telepharmacy and we don't have to hire as many licensed pharmacists because we'll put these technicians out there. So this remedies that by making that paragraph. If we move further in the bill, on page 2, there's a system, there's a lot of system for dispensing drugs. One of those systems is by a mechanism of mechanical or what we call automated machines. They look like a vending machine, but they're much more technical than a vending machine. These machines then distribute the prepackaged or packaged drugs by applying a label and by essentially pushing a button for simplification. It then dispenses that medication that the doctor or the medical provider has ordered. Those machines are quite expensive, as much as $75,000 or $100,000. We wanted to open that up and make it so that these telepharmacies had the option of doing that if they want to do that. But if they don't wish to have that mechanized, we wanted to have them have the ability to have those manually distributed, manually packaged, and have the label put on by a pharmacy tech, excuse me, or by that technician who is supervised by the pharmacist at the home or the supervising pharmacy. So you can see that we inserted that language on line two, on page 2, line 22. We inserted the language storage, security, and dispensing of prescription drugs, and then created some subsections. A, in unit of issue package. B, through a system which dispenses tablets or capsules from an enclosed or lockable cabinet directly into a prescription vial and prints and applies a prescription label to the vial, or by manually dispensing tablets, capsules, liquids, or liquids from a stock bottle into a prescription vial and affixing a prescription label to that vial. And then the remainder of that amendment goes on to just strike out on line 3, the continuation of that language. And then when you get further into the bill on page 3, the remainder of the bill speaks to the security of the telepharmacy, and those rules and regulations and so forth are now available online in the statutes. They already regulate these. There actually is one telepharmacy in the state of Wyoming west of this community, and have been some trials in other communities. You will note there that the telecommunication or the telepharmacy has to have the capability of live video and audio communication with the licensed pharmacist at the parent pharmacy during the hours that they're operating. And then finally, a telepharmacy shall be supervised by a parent pharmacy and a licensed pharmacist, and shall be staffed during hours of operations by a licensed pharmacist, a certified pharmacy technician, or a registered pharmacy intern. And then it goes on to talk about operating under the statute 3324.113 by a licensed pharmacist with security provided for the medications that are going to be dispensed there. And it also provides on the final page, page 4, that the licensed pharmacist who supervises that telepharmacy will complete an inspection of a telepharmacy at a frequency specified by the Board of Pharmacy. They will develop their rules and regulations and create that themselves, and that all regulations of inspection criteria will go forth from there. And that's pretty much the bill. If we'd like to move the amendment, then go ahead and get the amendment out.
Senator, the standing committee amendment has been moved. Fellow senators, any discussion, questions on the standing committee amendment? Do I hear a question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Scott's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 62, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number 1 has passed. We are back on the bill. Senator Baldwin.
Without further discussion, I believe that this provides our small rural communities, which I say almost everybody in here, if not everybody, has at least one of those in their district that would benefit from this bill. They may or may not use this thing that's provided for them, but if they do, it provides an opportunity for the people in those communities to now receive those medications they need in a timely fashion, not have to wait a day or two in the result of closed roads in Wyoming a month or two. But I would encourage your consideration of this bill and encourage a favorable vote.
Thank you, Senator. Questions? Discussion? Do I hear a question on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 62, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. Senate File 62 has passed committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the committee of the whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You have heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. The motion carries.
I agree.
Mr. Vice President.
Introduction and reference of Senate files. Senate File 92, first reading of the bill. Reading clerk, please read.
Senate File 92, Local Government's Plan Review Authority, sponsored by Senator Pappas.
Senate File 92 is signed number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 93.
Senate File 93, District Court Filing Fees, sponsored by Senator Driscoll.
Senate File 93 is referred to Judiciary Number 1 Judiciary. Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, Franchise Business Relationships, sponsored by Senator Driscoll.
Senate File 94 is referred to Number 7 Corporations. Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, Early Retirement, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 95 is referred to Number 3, Revenue. Senate File 96.
Senate File 96, Real Estate Brokers and Salespersons, sponsored by Senator Pappas.
Senate File 96 is referred to Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 97.
Senate File 97, Tobacco Settlement Data Sharing, sponsored by Senator Coe.
Senate File 97 is referred to Number 3, Revenue, Committee Number 3, Revenue. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move that we stand recessed until 2 p.m.
Is there any announcements? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet 1/2 hour after noon recess here in Room S-19 to take up Senate File 23, Fuel Tax Appeals, and Senate File 11, License Revocation Process.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, your committee number 2, Joint Appropriations, will meet at 12:15 in the Joint Appropriations Room to take up callbacks and general appropriations. We will also meet upon adjournment today for the same purpose, and then at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, again for the same purpose.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your Judiciary Committee number 1, official polling now, stands to meet Wednesday morning, January 18th at 8 a.m., Jonah Room S-18, to take up Senate File 84, Stocking Penalties, and Senate File 85, Court Automation Fee.
Thank you, Senator Christensen, and you did make it an official polling.
I've heard it twice. Now it's official.
Okay. Thank you for that. Senator Hicks, do you need to be recognized?
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Committee, will be meeting Tuesday upon adjournment. Thursday upon adjournment. To have a joint meeting to review the Department of Environmental Quality's water programs.
He did say. Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All but Senator Case will stand recessed until 2 p.m.